This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Yeah, that's right. It's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for making us part of your day as our broadcast journey continues on this Wednesday. It's a Mardi Gras Wednesday. There's brought us over there. Our presenting sponsors of our spring training coverage, ASCO Equipment, your heavy equipment partner since 1960, and On-Time Experts Air Conditioning and Plumbing, same-day service guaranteed. I can guarantee you right now, Woolchuck's going to give us some NFL news of the day, buddy. What do you say?
All right, so the Cowboys are meeting with a bunch of the defensive linemen. That's really because that's who's there right now at the Combine, because that's who's going for Group 1. So I know it's like, oh, my gosh, yes, Cowboys are meeting with D-linemen. This is great. And it is, because it's a great D-lineman class, but that's who's available. So the Ashton Jeanty stuff. Guys, they're going to get Ashton Jeanty here for a Dallas day. That's a free visit for them.
Yep.
They don't need to burn a combine visit or a 30-day visit with Ashton Jeanty. The fact that the report came out that they haven't met with him is totally meaningless. He's a Frisco Lone Star local kid. So they'll be able to bring him in. They'll be able to bring like a Quinn Ewers in for Dallas days, and they'll get themselves a look at Ashton Jeanty. So, you know, some of the things that I've just seen, don't worry. It's going to be all right. One clip that I did see today, Brian, because it's something we've discussed and maybe could be a player that's in play at 12. There's a couple of Georgia Bulldogs. Mykel Williams is one.
Yes.
I did see Tommy Arish ask him, hey, did you meet with the Cowboys? He said, I did.
Yes.
And I liked that interview. That's all I'll say about it. I liked it. And then there's Jalen Walker, who I do think is an edge, but he played off-ball linebacker at Georgia. I just think he's at his best when he's getting after the quarterback, but he was asked just about that. Edge, linebacker, what do you see yourself as in the NFL, Jalen Walker?
I'm a ball player, so just being on the field is my favorite position. I mean, just getting, just being everywhere, you just don't know. That anticipation of being at the outside backer one snap, and then being an inside backer one snap, and then being a star the next snap, it gives me the comfort of that they don't know what element of surprise is going to hit them next. So.
And it's true. I mean, you can move him all over the formation. I mean, if Jalen Walker's on the board at 12, obviously it depends on who else is there.
Yeah.
He's definitely going to be in the conversation for one of the best players available. So I would not mind that pick whatsoever, but it will be interesting. I mean, he's not saying I'm either or there. You know, you can pretty much play me wherever the hell you want, and I'll be productive.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. And I think the kid has a great attitude, and you watch him play. His demeanor, he plays downhill, he's physical, he takes on blocks. You know, there's my gang of seven guys. I've asked them about him. I asked a buddy of mine who scouts the Southeastern Conference for another team, not the Cowboys. And he was mentioning, mate, listen, I think he's an inside linebacker with the traits to be able to use as a pass rusher. And so he wears the same number as Micah Parsons. He's got similar traits to Micah Parsons. That ability to rush the passer, I think, is really, really something that could be a calling card for him. But there's some people that worry about him at 6'2", 245, if you make him an all-the-time edge. will you wear him down? Will you get the best use out of him? Excuse me. That's why I think some people have talked about him as a inside off-ball linebacker.
Which is a fair concern because, I mean, we've seen that with Micah, right? I mean, roughly around the same
Micah's
size.
Micah's a better end than he is a linebacker. He really is.
Which is, I mean, and I think Walker's is a similar type of player.
Yeah, very similar.
But I can see why some that would think, like, okay, physically, is he going to wear down through over the course of a 17-game season? Abdul Carter, speaking of number 11s, I mean, that dude's an absolute stud. Just had a 12-sack season at Penn State. He says, I'm the best player. I should be selected number one overall. That's his goal. He wants to be the top pick selected by the Tennessee Titans. 21 years old. I love the confidence from Abdul Carter. He's not going to be working out, but I think he does have a legitimate shot to possibly go number one to Tennessee if they don't end up taking a quarterback. So he certainly was turning heads there at the podium today with some of the confidence that he was speaking with. And he's trying to speak this into existence. Like, I want to be the number one overall pick. It's probably him or it's Travis Hunter if you're not going to go with a quarterback.
I think this kid is Jared Verse. When I watch him play at 6'3", 259 pounds, I think he's got similar. I mean, we saw Jared Verse live, you know, when we were watching practice between the Cowboys and the Rams and how he was able to dominate. He dominated at Florida State. This kid's got very similar traits too. To Jared Verse, in my opinion.
Exciting player, but you don't get the number one pick that often. And if there's two quarterbacks who might be franchise players, I'd be asking my guys to take a double check. We don't want to try our luck with Ward or Sanders. I mean, the poise, the gun on Cam Ward, it just seems like he's got star written all over him.
I'm with you.
I would take, and I haven't looked at the quarterbacks yet, but just watching tape of – you know, against Miami or against Colorado, or with those players being, you know, having players to evaluate.
Yeah, or you watch the tight end or the Miami receiver.
Give me Ward.
Yeah, I think
Ward over Sanders.
Yeah, please. I've got him on Sanders too.
All those guys in the Miami offense. I think Kim Ward, Damian Martinez. There's a place
they
for him.
They all benefited from him. I mean,
Restrepo, I think, is a hell of a slot receiver that runs incredible routes, and Arroyo at the tight end.
Arroyo
spot.
did nothing with any previous quarterbacks there. And Ward comes in there and makes him a guy that you would pick in the fourth round right now.
Mm-hmm. 20 yards a pop, like every time he touches the ball.
Yeah, no doubt.
Like.
And he is very, very athletic. This is an interesting development to keep an eye on here in the NFC East. But Jordan Renan, who covers the Giants for ESPN, it's pretty clear after a couple days here in Indy that the Giants' top priority at quarterback is Matthew Stafford. See what happens with him and the Rams, and they move on from there. So we got to keep tabs on this situation. I know, Gavin, you brought up in the open, McVay does want to keep Matthew Stafford there if they can. But we'll see what happens with the money. I think Brady, I saw as well, is trying to get him to Vegas. They've got interest. It seems like there's other suitors that might be willing to pay the cost, that the $50 million a year that Stafford's wanting. It makes a ton of sense. We said this a week ago when it comes to the Giants. You got a head coach and a GM that are playing. They're trying to survive.
There's no question.
They're on life alert. They're like, throw me a life raft right now. I can't bank on taking Shador Sanders or Cam Ward. And
letting somebody else develop
absolutely.
It? Yeah.
I need a win-now quarterback.
Right.
I don't know how Matthew Stafford does going to New York. There's still a lot of questions with that roster. But, yeah, if you want to win now, go get a veteran quarterback that just led his team to the playoffs again, won himself a playoff game, played well in both playoff games. We got to monitor that situation with Stafford maybe coming into the NFC East. And then all of a sudden, how do you power rank the quarterbacks within this division? If you did have a Stafford, a Jaden Daniels, a Jalen Hurts, and a Dak Prescott, you might not be in a great place if you're the Dallas Cowboys.
No, you're not. And you are in a great place if you're a Rams fan because, I mean, it's just a team that puts nothing ahead of what's going to put us closer to a championship. And if we can find a guy like Baker Mayfield or Kirk Cousins that's going to make half of this guy and give you 85 or 90% of the ability, we can scheme around it. But what we can't scheme around is having to clear our roster of talented guys because we got a quarterback that's insisting on getting market-setting money.
Mm-hmm.
This is the dream. Like, oh, you know, we have a number in mind for you, but we need this other X amount of dollars to go fill out our team. And it's no disrespect, but like all of these quarterbacks that aren't named, you know, Burrow, Mahomes, Lamar, or Allen are just pretenders. And The guy McVay is giving you a clinic on how it's done once again. I think so many of these teams are afraid that their fans aren't going to watch if they don't have a quarterback that's like Pro Bowl capable.
They may be afraid, but they're not naked, afraid, and disabled.
No.
That's a good point. That's a really good point. Yeah.
That would be a hell of a premise for a TV show, naked NFL owners trying to find their next quarterback on a deserted island.
Yeah. Whoever survives gets the number one overall pick. You get Arch Manning or whoever the next golden boy quarterback
is. What owner would you pick?
Is there any fit owners?
I think our guy Steve Bershotti at the Ravens is kind of a younger dude.
The Commanders' Josh Harris guy, was he well intact?
He could be well intact, yeah.
Most of those guys are pretty geriatric.
Yeah. I don't think you'd want older. Mike Brown doing anything at Cincinnati.
Mike Brown can stay his naked body away from me.
I guess Tony Khan in Jacksonville is the youngest active owner, born in 82.
York at San Francisco is a young guy. So
old Jed.
Jed York, yeah.
Jed York.
Do you think the Maras would be comfortable in the nude?
No, not at all.
They'd be looking for leaf coverage immediately. Damn the quarterbacks. Where's the leaves?
I kind of like Jerry's chances at this one, actually.
Jerry's chances at finding a quarterback?
At winning naked and afraid. He'll find a way to talk himself into something.
He'll eat squirrel brain out there, keep himself alive.
He'll find a way. Someone comes back, like a squirrel or whatever it is, and he'll make it seem like, well, you should give that to me. You know, that's my food right there that you just went, hunted, killed, and that's mine. You know, he's got the gift of gab. I think that can go a long way in that.
I don't think we'd want to see Mark Davis out there, right? Naked and afraid.
No, not at all. That's a good one from the 469. Like maybe Brady. Can the Raiders put out
Brady? Brady would win. There you go.
That'd be interesting. 682 says, what about Russell Wilson going to Vegas? Well, I did see a report the Steelers, they want to re-sign Wilson or Fields, either one before the draft. I guess they just don't want to go, or before free agency.
Sign Fields. I mean, didn't he show you enough last year before he, you know, before, I mean, the only game I think he lost. Are you okay over there, Chief?
Yeah, I just had to burp a little bit. He lost to the Cowboys, honest.
But he won the games up until that one, though.
He did win a couple of those games.
He did. We also have some Debo news.
Nobody can bunt anymore. I mean, it's a lost art.
That was a joke of an attempt.
John Lynch said that Debo is allowed to look for a potential fresh start elsewhere, see if a team jumps in the mix there for Debo. And the New England Patriots are now allowing Devin Godshaw, big defensive tackle.
Gotcha. Right?
That's a big body D tackle. He's got the opportunity now to go out and seek a trade, as does Harold Landry of the Tennessee Titans, who's still in the league, still doing it, had 83% of the team's defensive snaps, 71 tackles, 9 sacks, 18 pressures, and 4 pass deflections. I don't know what the price would be for a Harold Landry. Those stats are much better than I thought for a guy that's been around hanging in the league for a while out of Boston College. Harold Landry, now he is due, $17.5 million, but I think that's part of the deal. Tennessee's going to eat some of that if they trade for him. Yeah, 100%. Because if otherwise, you just go ahead and cut him outright. Same thing with Jair Alexander in Green Bay. Like, they already said, we're probably going to cut you. Now, today at the Combine, they said, oh, we're interested in trade talks, and the Ravens are the favorite, according to the sports books, to trade for Jair Alexander. You just undercut yourself. 2 weeks ago, we had the report you're willing to move on from him and possibly cut him. Now you're saying we'll take a trade. So if you really just want to get something for him, the odds are you're probably playing ball and doing something financially to help out.
No doubt. Yeah, Godshaw might be a guy that we need to study a little bit, Broadus, to see if he's a defensive tackle worth trading for.
I've been looking at like fourth and fifth round college players right now. I need to probably get on a couple of those pro free agent dudes.
Well, definitely, because I do think that if they don't swing for the fences on Osa or like a Milton Williams or something in free agency, they're going to have to. Obviously, you're going to get some guys in the draft. It's a great D tackle class, but you're going to have to get a couple of veterans on the relative cheap in free agency at the defensive tackle spot. So I'm looking forward to seeing who some of those guys might be. I know BJ Hill is a guy, Walchuk, that you said could be on the cheap as a veteran dude in there, but you just can't have enough of those guys.
You got to feel like Jerry would find a way to exploit a name like Godshaw. You know, is that a chewing tobacco like in the pouch? Is that Godshaw?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Restaurant Godshaw,
like Red Man.
Yeah, believe it or not, there's an X in that name.
Oh yeah,
okay. Yeah.
There is.
It's a little, French.
Maybe French. Maybe it's a little Cajun there. Was he an LSU guy?
I think he was an
Brian?
LSU Tiger.
Yeah, he was.
There you go.
Yeah.
GM Chris Ballard says Anthony Richardson's going to have to compete for that Colts.
Okay, there's one. Another guy that's got one foot in the parking lot in the U-Haul running.
Yeah, it's going to be the right guy to create real competition, he said, but we want to create that competition. So they're not committed to the 22-year-old Anthony Richardson, who they took just a couple of years ago. Are you ready to go ahead and punt on Anthony Richardson, Chief? I know he was your guy a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I mean, he was one of those guys in that class. I'm trying to remember who was in that class with him.
He was in the Will Levis draft.
Yeah. Okay.
That Will Levis was in there.
We're all wearing those.
Yeah, I just felt like if you're going to take a quarterback, he was a swing for the fences type of guy, super boom or bust. You knew what you were getting there, but mm-hmm. you're in the AFC and you're going up against alien freak show quarterbacks, the likes of Mahomes and Allen and Burrow and Lamar
Jackson.
Yeah,
but he's in a bad division though, right?
Yeah, he's in an awful division.
He's in an awful division, so he should have thrived a little bit, right?
Well,
can't stay healthy.
If he could stay healthy.
How does like a guy with that body always hurt?
Well, and he asked out of the game.
He did the tap out thing.
Oh, does that bother you more?
Oh, that was C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young. They went ahead of him, and then it was Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, so obviously Stroud was the guy in that particular class. But, yeah, Anthony Richardson was a swing-for-the-fences kind of dude. And I knew when discussing him that this had big-time bust potential. And that's pretty much where we find ourselves. He's a guy that is more likely to hit the random 65-yard pass down the field than he is the 5-yard pass that's just the easy gimme pass. He doesn't do just basic quarterback 101 things. Can't stay healthy, tapping out of the game. He's done.
Trey Smith, Chiefs are going to make a push to try and keep him there if they can.
Can we tag him?
Brent Veach said they're going to try and retain him on a long-term deal, is what he was telling the media yesterday. So if they want, they're looking at, it's projecting like $19.7 million per year. I don't think they're going to tag him. If they do, it might be the transition tag is what I was seeing. But we'll have to see. I mean, that'd be one of the best offensive linemen on the market if Trey Smith's available. I know the Bears have been linked to him. But there's your NFL news of the day.
Thank you, Wolchuk. How do the Cowboys players grade their team, their training staff, their dining situation? The NFLPA report card is out. We'll get into that. The C-Note, Cowboys news of the evening is next right here as we broadcast live in surprise at Rangers spring training. And we're back in the Nation.
Take me out to the ball game. What are you doing? Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Nation. We are live in Surprise, Arizona at spring training, and a World Series legend is going to join us here before too long. The Rangers are crosstown taking on Cleveland, and they lead 4-1. Evaldi went 3 innings, gave up 1 run, and he has since left the game. And he's going to call us, and we'll talk with Nasty Nate here in just a minute. Segment, though, is the C-Note, Cowboys news of the evening. The NFL Players Association anonymous poll about the teams is out. The teams hate these. We love them. Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels, 214 or 817-333-3333 with Franklin Frankel. Never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Franklin Frankel, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. So I think overall they rank 10th, excelling in several areas. Their facilities, the locker room, the weight room are top tier. They consistently rank among the best in how the organization treats players' families, which is nice. Players were asked what the team is currently doing best. The most consistent answer was the leadership of head coach Mike McCarthy and the culture that he fostered. They love Big Mike. You know, that's not just like public Micah Parsons or Dak. This is, you know, the majority of the players apparently voting that we gave Mike a thumbs up. He got an A.
Yeah, I always think that's a little bit interesting with the way that they view a coach. I see, like, in Miami, they love Mike McDaniel, but he's letting guys be late to meetings. And, like, how much of that is just because you're so player-friendly? Mike McCarthy loves giving guys days off. He's always worried about, oh, they've done too much on the field. As a player, you're probably like, this is great. I don't have to do as much. I don't have a coach that's old school that's trying to wear me down like at Andy Reid. Andy Reid is tearing him up in training camp. I don't think Mike McCarthy is doing that. And so how much of that is just players appreciating the coddling factor of a coach, and it's not necessarily a respect for it? And I'm not saying this is Mike McCarthy, but I it's hard to take that 100% when Zeke is boozing and missing meetings and missing practices and nothing's happening for a while. So yeah. I don't know how much of that is actually something to really care about.
You know, I really liked a good substitute teacher when I was in school because they were so nice. They just wanted to hang out and get through their day.
They're just trying to clock in and clock out.
Yeah.
Don't hurt each other.
Yes. And maybe that's what you had going on with Mike McCarthy.
Hey, didn't you hate when a substitute teacher took a job serious, though?
Yes.
And wanted to show out. Like, yo, you need to calm down.
We're going to learn something here.
Yeah.
They're going to think I did such a good job, they're going to give me a full-time job based on this performance right here. Yeah. Occasionally you would get that sub that just wasn't any good. Kind of like a babysitter almost. Treatment of families A, food and dining B+. I would think maybe the
I don't know, they got good meals there, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it's come a long way. That cafeteria they have there, I think now maybe they're not liking the fact that as they're eating their meals, that people are walking around taking tours.
That might
be the big problem. The food is really good.
/ dining area.
Yeah,
so maybe they like
go.
A little bit more privacy
there you
while
go.
They're eating. A nutritionist and dietitian got a B+. So not bad. Locker room A, training room C, training staff C. They want more physical therapists and more modern modalities for how they recover from
injuries. They hate my guy Britt Brown.
I mean, I can't fathom why the Cowboys would allow for this particular grade. This is not news to us. This is the same thing that happened last year. Training staff, all that kind of stuff. Why would you not get that cleaned up? Why would you not say, okay, let's get this squared away. We need more of this. We need more of that. Let's be... Like, let's do everything at a championship level. And this is one of those perfect examples that speaks to the lack of quality prioritizing when it comes to the way the Cowboys operate. And it's as frustrating as anything. That makes no sense to me why you wouldn't get that remedied.
Everything I've heard about Britt Brown, he's done a good job, you know, but sometimes you want somebody with a different kind of expertise. The recovery field is one that's constantly evolving. Why not have more?
Yeah, exactly. And I don't even know that it's like an indictment on the guy that you have. It's just like, we need more of him.
Yeah, we
need better equipment or whatever it is to recover at the highest level. So I don't think it's a shots fired at Britt Brown necessarily, but
he needs more help.
It just needs more help. And for the life of me, I can't understand why the Cowboys wouldn't do that.
Owner gets to be, players like the Cowboys. They usually end up paying them. They want to make things as comfortable as possible. They don't, put the kind of negative pressure on the team. I guess, some of them probably are starting to realize more. I mean, Micah Parsons is the youngest I've ever heard a player talk about how you're managing the salary cap and trying to put pressure on the team to do more. So I wish that grade was lower, to be honest, because I think if you had a bunch of the players saying, like, doesn't matter, we don't have a chance, I think that would put pressure on the Joneses to manage the cap differently and get them some more help. Okay, so that's out there, and there is a number of different takeaways that are interesting from around the league when you look at, who's really good at this and, who leaves something to be desired. But if I'm the Cowboys, I'm thinking 10th is all right, considering how bad of a season we had, and, the players are still ranking us essentially above average. Headline morning news is DeMarcus Lawrence's time with the Dallas Cowboys coming to an end. The 32-year-old unrestricted free agent this spring. The story is written in a way that kind of assumes he's done. But at 32, I think Tank, there's a good chance Tank has a lot of good football. He's loved being a Cowboy. He's got a family here. His family grew up as Cowboys fans. He already took less money. Like, if I'm the Cowboys, I'm just assuming that he's going to be out of our price range. But the story, kind of suggests that the market's going to be bigger for Tank elsewhere than it is with the Cowboys. And I think that's unfortunate because they have so many needs along that defensive line, and Tank can still be very good.
Yeah, I've long been an advocate for Tank. I mean, I think that he is just an all-around really good end. But I think that it might be beneficial for the Cowboys and for maybe Tank to go somewhere else. I don't know. There's been some conversations about maybe there's some players that don't get along always with Tank. Maybe they don't see eye to eye. And I wonder at the end of the season, I think he'd have been playing if the Cowboys had stuff to play for. I think that was more so, hey, season's over with. I'm not going to go ahead and rush myself back here. I'm good on this. And maybe that, I don't know. It's a new coaching staff. Maybe these guys are totally cool with it, but that might have rubbed some people the wrong way.
Okay. Well, maybe, yeah. I mean, if you're thinking that way, maybe you already have one foot out the door. And certainly this is the last opportunity for him to get paid big. And if it's not kumbaya in that locker room and there's more money elsewhere, you probably owe it to yourself to go get that significant amount of money. But at this stage in a player's career, it's a major family disruption. I think that's part of why Zach Martin just decided to retire, because I think Tank has like 4 kids.
Yeah.
And so you're leaving all of them for half of the year. That can be really disrupting. I mean, hell, even for us, for 4 or 5 days, our kids are like, what's going on? And the wives are like, what the heck? Again, you were just in New Orleans.
Yeah, I think we felt that a little bit this year with our buddy Eric Kendricks, who did the 1 year deal with the Cowboys and didn't uproot the family. And so he was kind of having to go back and forth and just trying to keep all the things in order. It's a tough deal.
Blogging the Boys had a Damone Clark story that's good. If they cut him, they save like $3.3 million of cap space. Pretty much a no-brainer. Isn't it? Fifth rounder from LSU. He had the spinal fusion surgery a couple of years ago. Just never established himself as more of a special teamer. Hell of a guy. Like, tremendous football character at LSU. He won the award for the guy, or he had a jersey number that he signified that he was like the man with the best football character.
Yeah, he did. The football character part is excellent. The instincts and the ability to read plays is not.
Yeah.
And that's what got him in trouble. And, when you start to talk about football IQ, you start to talk about instincts, you have to be able to have those things to play inside linebacker in the NFL. He's got neither.
I wonder if when your neck is fused as well, you can't look side to side as quickly.
Swivel.
Yeah.
I think it's more with his eyes. His neck is not great. His eyes are worse.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. NFL.com has their 101 free agents list. There are three Cowboys defensive linemen on this list. Osa at number seven free agent in the NFL. Tank's at 48. Rico's at 65.
Yeah.
Jordan Lewis, 69. And our guy Chauncey Golson there, 91.
Yeah, I was going to go through that, too, at 340 today and talk about it a little bit and kind of ask you guys some questions about maybe some others involved here, and if you would rather this guy or that guy kind of.
Oh, a little would you rather?
Yeah. Okay.
And all right. Krusty's Cocktail Corner.
That's a pretty good tease there.
Yeah.
How's the Tito's flowing this afternoon, Krusty?
I'm through my second drink right now.
You're through it?
Yeah.
You're holding your own. I'm almost on my number two as well.
All right. Well, just let me know. Hand the cup around around the bin, and away we go.
What's the handle looking like, though? I mean, we're 90 minutes into the show.
It's halfway.
It's
got quite a dent through it.
We might have to borrow your DoorDash account and maybe get us another one.
Really?
I remember last year
You know how I pour?
Yeah, he is a heavy-handed.
You're a stiff man.
My arm, it gets locked. I'm like, oh, crawfish shoulder. Oh, I can't move it. You know?
I don't know how you guys do it, you know, getting after it like that. You're going to be done by the time we're halfway through the show. I mean, you might have a hangover by the time we hit the expressway.
Yeah,
for crying out loud.
They got beers in the stadium.
You
I know
pace
that.
Pace yourself a little bit.
They do have beers.
That's right.
They have beers in the stadium.
They have beers down there.
Shout out to the Monster Dog as well that Wolchuk put down earlier. Gosh, they got a full-fledged 14-incher hot dog, just run-of-the-mill hot dog. He went with the ketchup and the mustard. He was like, oh, wow, that's way bigger than I thought. He orders the Monster Dog, and then he's surprised that it's actually monster size. And then he's like, there's no way
I'm gonna finish
this.
That thing at Culver's last night. I just
Culver's was a disaster.
I was waiting how long it'd take you to get into the show before you brought up Culver's.
Watch me at 3:40.
Popular spot. I made my order, which was a very basic order. Didn't get my burger for 25 minutes.
Yeah.
They were cranking out burgers right
and left. Are you sure you ordered it?
I did.
I think there was a little like, I'm in line. I'm out of line.
Well,
I'm
I did
standing
leave
outside
line.
Like being a greeter.
I'm like, hey,
welcome to Culver's. Can I hold the door open for you, sir?
I left. I had to take a phone call, so you guys ordered first. I came in 10 minutes after that. I saw you guys had just gotten your food, and that's when I placed my order. And I could time it because I knew what time I got off that phone call. 25 minutes, popular. I don't know. It was a pretty good burger. Pretty good burger. I don't know if the demand is quite in line with the quality.
Oh, okay.
But
so you did like it.
Yeah, I thought it was
Did you get a single patty? I mean, it was just paper-thin patties.
Yeah. Yeah, single patty. That's why I like it. I like good bread ratio.
Yeah.
Bacon was good.
Like 95 to 5?
Bacon was good.
Yeah, I mean, 50-50 or something like that?
It was not
even close. I didn't eat the bacon, but it did pass the eye test. Like, for fast food standards, it wasn't just some garbage, low-level, half-ass bacon. It looked legit. But the patty thickness was really where my qualms were.
See, I'm not like that. You know, I think it's incredible how you were such a carnivore here. Yeah. And, you know, and you want the beef patty to be overpowering everything.
I do. I want it to be more like a probably 2-to-1 meat to bread ratio.
Okay, we are standing by for Nathan Eovaldi here on your home of the Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. Jared Sandler will join us after this game. Rangers got some runs going there in that, I believe, the fifth inning. They're up 4-1 now in the seventh. So we'll probably have Sands on in the next hour or so here in the G-Bag Nation. But as Brian was saying, Krusty's Corner's coming up next. Where are you taking us,
buddy? I've got some of these. We've got a free agent list. I want to go through a couple of guys and see if you're interested. We'll do that next.
Thank you, Lucia. Still standing by for Nathan Eovaldi. He'll join us before too long here on your home of the Rangers. Time now for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's the king of the Krusty's, Brian.
Thank you very much, General. Thank you very much to Reliant for being a part of this.
Take me on.
That's a good one. Do I have to be alert for Nate Eovaldi jumping in here in the middle of this?
No, I haven't heard anything yet, so we're okay.
Okay, I don't want to make him wait.
You know? Trust me, if he calls, we'll say, Brian.
Yeah.
Zip it. It's time for Evo.
And I just heard in that promotion that Lucius is going to be out with us next Thursday.
Nice.
Oh, I heard that.
Yes.
Yeah, I heard
at Cold
that.
Beers and Cheeseburgers?
Yeah, I heard that.
They got Ross on the board, Lucius?
Yep. What a good time.
Yeah. I am Yeah, good deal.
About
there.
To find out, bro.
I gotta get that. Get the sloppy Lou.
Yeah, I'm gonna get my cardio up for Thursday because I don't want to pack on what I already have now. You know what I'm saying?
I heard that read, and I'm like going, well, Lucius is rolling with us. It'll be exciting. Okay. Speaking of cheeseburgers last night, can I just, the thing, you guys oversold Culver's last night, by the way.
No, you had a bad order.
No. I don't normally get out ordered, but I felt like when you came back to the table and go, oh, I'm having surf and turf, I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Like, he ordered a burger and the shrimp.
You know, and the tendies.
And the tendies.
Yeah, it was a good
one
call.
Just, you know, we're going to sample the world here. I had had the bacon deluxe before.
Yeah.
That one time I went. So I knew that burger was solid.
Yeah.
But then, you know, why not try a little bit of everything? I mean, the chicken tendies were average. But I was pretty impressed with their shrimp.
Me too.
I thought the shrimp were the best thing. But I ordered the patty melt on the sourdough. And I'm like thinking, Eric's like, oh, you need to go for the double patty. You need to go. And I'm like thinking, no, I watched you eat four patties the other day. And we're like, no, I'm not doing that. Honestly, I needed four patties to make one patty.
Thank you.
This is not like a Whataburger situation when you order that patty melt.
Right.
That it's like a Texas toast, really
hearty,
will fill big. You up. That thing was embarrassingly
paper thin
small.
Patties. Yeah.
And it had more onions on it than it did the meat part of it.
It did. Yeah, no, your patty melt was bad.
I'm sorry. I mean, hey, Culver's, I heard a lot of great things about you. Just not like our home style stuff.
I think you'd say 50% bread, probably a good 40% onion, 10% meat patty.
It's not what it cracked up to be.
Brought us couldn't stop talking about.
Maybe
how
that's why I prefer the leaner patty. Is I only have patty. You know, I don't have the lettuce and the onion and stuff that could overpower it.
Yeah. Well, this thing was. I just couldn't believe how small it was because you're so used to. You're thinking of a patty melt. It's kind of a hearty sandwich.
Yeah, like there's some
this thing was like, yeah, this thing had no weight to it at all.
Right.
Just none.
I know.
And I'm
sounds amazing. See, I'd rather have three thin burgers than one thick burger.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just like, you don't like an overbearing beef, so to speak, like just too much beef at once is just not.
Yeah. Yeah, and you really got to stretch to open up and jam that thing in there, you know? Mm. So I find the experience to be more like the guy on Popeyes. What's his name? Was that Wimpy? What's the guy's name?
He's always eating the burgers. I'll pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today.
Yeah. And he liked like a bar style, you know, kind of thin burger.
I don't know. I was thinking more. I was thinking Culver's. It was going to be. And I was the first one to order. And I think out of the whole crew. Now, another thing I want to point out real quick. Ruben is amazing. He ordered two sandwiches. He ordered a chicken sandwich
and
a burger.
Yeah, sure did.
He managed to eat the meal where he ate half of one sandwich and then half of the other.
He was going bite for bite, just going back and forth.
How do you do that?
It was awesome. I loved the strategy there because his whole point was really just to be able to try as many things as possible. It wasn't about eating all of it.
He had half the burger. He had half of one left. I looked down and I'm like,
I finished his other half of this burger.
Yeah. You just didn't even care about the bread that was knocked off.
Didn't worry about that.
He's all about the meat.
Folded that thing up and like, oh, watch this.
Yeah.
You know. But yeah, I was amazed at how he was able to eat exactly one half of the sandwich and one half of the other sandwich. You know?
I know. I like the way he approached it. The other thing, too, to your credit, Broadus, there was some false advertising going on. When you look at the giant photos of the burgers there.
It's a Red Lobster kind of approach.
They're selling a patty that's thicker than just a paper-thin patty that's actually the real-life deal.
Yeah.
So that was, you know, to your credit, you looked at it, and you were like, hey, that passes the thickness eye test.
Yeah.
And then it came back, and it was like, you know what? I got ball sack.
Yeah, it was a disappointment. It was a disappointment. Okay. I talked about these guys, these free agents. I kind of want to run through a couple. By the way, are you guys now surprised that Osa Odighizuwa is now – he went from being a guy that was way, way down a list – to being like the seventh best free agent out of a top 101 list.
Yeah, that's a joke to me. I mean, where's Milton Williams on this list? I just want to
see. Milton Williams is behind him.
See, that's hilarious to me, man.
Yeah.
Well, you got, like, what, a 1 year of production from Milton Williams versus 4 years of production
from Oso. Do you really get 1 year from Oso Digizu on that?
No, you've got 4 good years from Oso.
He's been solid.
He's been a good player. Did he fade the first 3 years in the second half? Yes.
I'm glad I'm the only one that didn't see that.
But who else was even relevant among your defensive tackles, Brian? Like, this poor dude is a man alone inside the middle of your interior D-line.
So you're not surprised he's the seventh best player on a 101 list?
I think Oso's better than all of you do. So, no, I'm not stunned.
Okay. All right. All right. Amari Cooper was number 13. Dawson.
Yeah, let's do it.
Are you interested in bringing Amari Cooper back as a wide receiver?
Yeah. You know, I think the world's a different place than when they moved on from him, and maybe they can let bygones be bygones. You know, I think if the price is right, you got to be interested in Amari Cooper if they'll have you back.
So you're buying the dip from last season. You're buying the dip for hopefully a bounce back here, huh?
Yeah, you know, in my mind, it's in $10, $11 million range. If that's what we're talking with Amari Cooper, then I'm very interested.
All right. This is a guy that we love, and it's Nick Bolton. They got him as number 18. He's a three-down linebacker. Okay, him being at 18, does it give you some hope that he might not be that expensive?
I think that the championship
pedigree. Or the fact it's a three-down linebacker.
Three-down linebacker, yeah. And with this not being a great linebacker class, some team, maybe multiple teams, will be willing to throw a little bit more money-wise at him just because there's not that many guys in this draft.
I'd like to hope that maybe at 18 that – I'm not saying he's going to be a bargain.
But $15 million a year? Like, I think that's totally fair for
him. I think that's reasonable. I mean, I think that's fair. Him, would you rather have Nick Bolton or with what you had last year with your linebacker?
I'd rather have Nick Bolton. Than Kendricks, right? Eric Kendricks is probably year-to-year at this point in his career. Still obviously productive.
Week to week.
Okay, here's the question, though. Fair. Would you rather have Nick Bolton or would you rather have Osa?
I'd rather have Bolton because I can go – maybe then I go ahead and I double dip in this draft.
I think Wolchuk is on to something there. I've seen too many – one techniques, too many three techniques that I really, really like.
In the draft.
In this draft, yeah.
And it stretches. I mean, hell. Phil is – this is to go D-line crazy. This is the draft to do it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I don't need to add Bolton, though. I need a defensive tackle, and maybe it's not Osa.
Yeah.
You know, but I think with Leofowl and Overshown, I just need a cheap veteran and a younger guy to sort of bridge the gap until we're
just like
healthy.
A one-year deal until you get Overshown back.
I mean, we're toast at defensive tackle right now. Yeah, there's a path to success at linebacker.
All right, Rico Dowdle was number 65 on this list. Is Rico Dowdle a guy that you're just waiting and seeing on?
Yeah.
Or, okay, I'm kind of like, I'm on the wait and see mode with him. I'm going to see if he's going to get paid or not. I just have a feeling that he might not, and I could get him back just on a deal. But he might say, screw it, I'm not coming back to Dallas on a cheap deal. I'll go somewhere else on a cheap deal.
Free agent running back can be so busty. You get a guy that's just not going to work for you for one reason or another. You know Rico works. You know, I wouldn't be too patient with him because I want to bring this back at $4 or $5 million and know that we have something. Now we can go into the draft and let things fall to us how they will.
Mm-hmm. All right, Levante David is a linebacker. He's 35 years old now. He's ranked number 82. All right, still has the ability to blitz, still plays run defense. Finally, he's just showing some wear and tear and some pass coverage stuff in 2024. Said previously he only wants to play for the Bucs and retirement is on the table, though. But is this, if you can't get Bolton, would you consider Levante David much like your Eric Kendricks guy last year?
Yeah, I would love it.
That'd be the bridge guy that you want there, Gavin. Because I don't know that you should be going into the season expecting anything from Overshown. I would just assume he's out. I'm planning on my season not having him, and then if he ends up getting back sooner than we think, then that's awesome. But that would be the bridge type of player that you'd want there.
Okay.
Yeah, but if he's talking about retirement, that scares me. I feel like this is actually a pretty deep linebacker class of free agents. So, I mean, there might be somebody else you could get there.
Dawson, I understand our special guest is with us. I'll throw it back to you.
He is. Man, this is great. Two-time World Series champion, a legend for the work that he's done with the Texas Rangers. Nathan Eovaldi pitched today across town against the Guardians, where the Rangers are winning currently, and he joins us now here on your home of the Rangers. Good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How y'all doing?
Man, it's so much fun to be out here, and it's so good to see you back out here. How did that decision go in the offseason? How tough was it to find your way back to the Rangers?
No, it was good. It's always, I don't know, for me it's always a little nerve-wracking, stressful being a free agent, hitting the market. We got that opportunity, and we were trying to listen to the teams and see which ones, was the right fit for us. And, it felt like the right fit was back home here in Texas. So I was very happy for everything to work out the way it did. And, it always seems like it takes longer than you want it to, but, I'm very thankful for having the opportunity back here.
So I know how competitive you are. You must be pretty convinced that this team has what it takes to get back in the mix for the Fall Classic.
Yeah, absolutely. When I first came over here to the Rangers, he sold me on the vision, and he did the same thing, of everything that it's going to take. I felt like we were on the same page. Felt like he made the right addition to the team that we needed to do. I know we kind of changed up our entire bullpen, but I think adding Berger, Jock Peterson, Higgy behind the plate, I think it's a really good dynamic that we got. It seems like a really good group of guys. Obviously I'm aware of the talent that we have in the room, and, again, I say it a lot with losing seasons. A lot of good can come from them. Obviously you don't want it to happen. You want to be able to keep rolling out those good winning seasons, but you learn a lot from a losing season. And we got knocked off the top of the mountain last year, and it was definitely a hard pill to swallow. So, a lot of hungry guys in the room that want to get back to where we were before, and we know that we weren't playing to our standard last year, and obviously a lot of injuries and other things that come with the with the grind of a season, but. We're definitely confident that we're going to be back in the postseason again this year and having an opportunity to win the World Series.
Well, we feel much more confident with you being back in the fold. I know that was priority number one for us on our show.
Dang,
getting
right.
Evo back. Whenever we talk to you, it's always, we know you're a leader when it comes to that pitching group. We got a lot of young guys that are looking to take that next step, whether it's Cody Bradford, Jack Leiter, Kamar Rocker. What are you seeing from some of the young arms right now?
Again, you're right. We have that learning experience when it comes to a losing season. A lot of those guys are going to get a lot more opportunities than, if we were winning. I feel as if they feel a lot more comfortable around us. I feel like we have a really good group of guys, a healthy DeGrom, a healthy Malley, a healthy John Gray. And you got these guys that are fighting for that fifth spot, and they're all very competitive. They all have very good pitches, and, it's coming out there and commanding the zone and having a good pitch mix and trusting the catchers behind the plate and seeing what they can do.
A leader, champion, clubhouse guy such as yourself, after Rocker has a tough outing yesterday, what do you say to him?
No, it's his first one. He's a guy that gets he may not show it, but he gets fired up on the inside, and obviously he's not happy with what happened, and I felt like I was in the same boat my first outing. It's like I forget how to pitch. You go out there and I'm moving way too fast, and the good thing for him is, he's 97, 98. He had great action on his fastball. The off speed was great. It's going to come. It's one of those things where it stinks that it has to happen that way. But he's one of those guys that's going to make the adjustments. He's going to be really good the next outing. So he got plenty of time in spring training. And the main thing for him is that he's healthy and he's ready to go.
Hey, Nathan, as we're watching these spring training games and stuff, what's something in the media or as fans that we always get wrong about spring ball?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not really sure that y'all are getting anything wrong. You know what I mean? It just,
yeah.
The games are, you're trying to get the rhythm of everything back under yourself. The rhythm of the game under your feet. It's weird because I feel like, you can train as hard as you want in the off season, and nothing sure. trains you to stand around on the backfield and wait. You know what I mean?
right,
you get hot,
right.
You get cold, and get going yeah. again. Your feet are hurting from standing around so much and wearing your spikes. I didn't even have to really put my spikes on this off season. I threw off turf mound. So coming out here and throwing on the dirt mound and wearing my spikes, it's like, man, my calves are tight and got all these little things going on. And I think it's just getting the game back under your feet, right? You're playing mm-hmm. five innings now. Guys are building up. And sorry about that, guys. You're getting the game back under your feet, getting the rhythm, the timing of the at-bat, knowing that, you don't have to be super fast during your windup. The pitch clock's jumping on me, and it's like I'm searching for the pitch clock. The coaches are down on the field, sitting behind the L screens. I'm, like, kind of blocking the pitch clock, and it's just being able to slow the game back down. You know what I mean? It's just the whole dynamic of everything and trying not to do too much, making sure you're going out there and getting strike one, trusting your pitches. And, you know, again, we're out in Arizona, so the ball is not moving as it may normally. Mm-hmm. I feel like the ball is traveling a lot more, too, jumping off the bat. But I think the main thing is just making sure that you feel healthy and not solely based on the results, but, you know, just how it's coming out of your hand.
It's Nasty Nate Evaldi with us here in the G-Bag Nation on your home of the Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. What do you think about this experiment with the automated ball and strike challenge system? I saw our old buddy Max Scherzer. He's a little nervous about this one, not totally in favor.
Yeah, it's definitely different. I mean, we've seen the way that MLB is willing to change some of the rules. You know, thankfully they're giving this one a very good look at it. I think I don't know how to say it. You know what I mean? Like, as a starting pitcher, I want to earn the trust of the umpire back there behind the plate. I'm hoping that my catcher is going to be able to steal a few strikes for me because I'm commanding the zone. You know, there's times when I'm not commanding the zone and I groove a 2-0 heater and I don't get the call, right, because I've been all over the place. So there's the good and the bad sides of it. You know, having only two calls, right, you mess one up. We saw it today, right? You lose one early. You know, Rocchio thought one of them was down in the zone, and he challenged it, and now they've lost one in the first inning, so everybody else is a little hesitant. I thought twice today, I really wanted to challenge, you know, two of them. I'm like, I better not. I want to take away from a hitter. I don't want to take away from the early or, you know, the later part of the game when there could be a really big situation. Mm-hmm. I think it's one of those things where you just really have to know and have a good understanding of the strike zone. So I think we'll see how it goes, but I think that as long as we keep it at two, you know what I mean? And surprise. I don't know, guys.
Hey, that's a great answer. This is evolving. It's a fluid situation.
Man, we love listening to you talk baseball. What's in your memory still about, like, Game 5 of the World Series and how clutch you came up to get out all those jams and go six scoreless to put the team in position to win that World Series?
I try to turn the page, you know, even though it's such a big moment, you know, each year it's like, I feel like that's the World Series hangover effect for the most part. It's not the guys aren't training. It's just guys expect to be back at that standard of exactly where we left off. You know, it takes 7 to 8 months to get to the World Series from spring training to the end of it, playing through the postseason, you know, and the goal is to get better each day. So I feel like a lot of the times guys end up coming into spring training with a big expectation and stuff, you know, on your shoulders, and you don't perform, you put more stress, you know, you underperform, and it's like, man, you kind of go all in earlier in the season, and, you know, then you fall way behind, and you don't have enough left in the tank towards the end of the season to get back to where you want to be. But I don't know, I think about all those big moments, and, you know, in game one, the Diamondbacks had got to me. I felt like they jumped on me early. You know, and I was trying not to walk them. And when it came game five, it was like, you know, I kind of had to tell myself, like, hey, don't be afraid to walk somebody. I know it's like, you know, the golden rule as a pitcher, but they try to play a lot of small ball, you know, moving guys over, and it's like, okay, like, we'll take, you know, sometimes I feel more comfortable with the runner on second than I do first. I don't know. It's weird. So being in those situations, being able to get ground balls, I know I had a lot of bases loaded situations. And really, honestly, it was the trust that Bochy and Maddox had in me.
I think we've lost him.
I'll win one more. Nope. Y'all got me?
We got you. You're just in a bad spot
there.
You're amazing.
You're good.
Oh, sorry. No, I'm just saying, like, honestly, it was a lot of trust and, you know, Bochy and Mad Dog that they had in me, leaving me out there in some of those big situations. You know, we're one win away from winning the World Series. If the score is 0-0, we're getting no hit. And I feel like I've got runners on in every situation. And, you know, they trusted me. They left me out there, and I was glad I was able to come up big for the boys.
Which pitcher did Mad Dog choose today in the meeting to give the pitchers the joke of the day?
I didn't show up today. It was game day, so I didn't go into the field. I just drove from the house straight over to Goodyear through the game.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I'll just tell you, Mark Church has a great joke ready for you guys. So just be ready for Mark Church. He's got a joke in his back pocket. He's dialed for.
I wouldn't have guessed Church, but I can't wait to hear it. We'll have to call him out tomorrow.
He was workshopping it with us, Nate. I mean, I think it was pretty good. I did want to ask you, like, this might be a weird question because obviously you're a starter. You're not really a bullpen piece, but you saw obviously what Sporzy, Leclerc, Chapman did during that run. I guess the big question for Ranger fans right now is the closer situation. I mean, for you, just from a pitching mindset, are we making that a bigger deal than it really is going into the season?
Maybe. I feel like now the game has changed so much. Like, obviously, it's great to have a set closer, but all of the guys down in the bullpen have two-plus pitches, right? Like, to be a really good bullpen guy now, it's like you've got to have three or four pitches coming in, and you locate them all. And I feel like as the game develops and, you know, the season goes on longer and longer, I think that role is going to be changing for us. And basically, who's going to be the hot hand, who's handling the situation the best. You got to control the runners and the running game, those things, but you got to be able to get the big punch out too when you need it. And I don't know, I think as the season develops, we'll see what happens. I would think Martin would be our guy now. I'm not sure though. I mean, I don't think he's got any games yet. His lines have looked good and he's felt good. And, you know, he's a guy who locates. So we'll see what happens and how everything unfolds.
Do you guys have confidence that if you need something that CY and ownership will figure out a way to get that player in here?
Absolutely. You know, I that was one of the biggest things with CY is, you know, he's made it clear that if we're in that situation to go out there and win, that he's going to do whatever it takes to help us get there. You know, as players, that's one of the biggest encouragements that you can have is, you know, that you're going to be able to go out there and make it. It's a big energy boost for the clubhouse, for the entire team, for the fan base. You go out there and you pick up a, you know, big arm. You know, honestly, I'm not positive we would have been there in the World Series without them.
Well, I love it, man. Thank you so much for coming back and for all the great things you've done for the Rangers already. Nathan Eovaldi here on 105.3 The Fan. Congrats and best of luck to you, sir. Have a great season.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Cheers. There he goes, Nathan Eovaldi here as we're broadcasting live from spring training. He went three innings today, struck out three guys, had
there
a couple of hits,
yeah,
and gave up the one run. But the Rangers are taking it to the Guardians once again. So Sands will join us here in the next 30, 45 minutes, something like that. As soon as it goes final, he'll be making an appointment to join us. Let's go around the Luca a little bit. Is this really what just made the front office decide they had to move on? Woolchuck's top 10 is coming up as well, and we're back right here to the GBAC Nation, The Fan.